Hello and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Vlad.
Hey guys, I'm Nikola.
And we have a lot of news today.
We do. Let's go to the first one, which is Channel 9 News. We have a new way for people to subscribe. So if you really like a show, like of course everyone loves This Week on Channel 9. Not one person you found that doesn't love This Week on Channel 9. Well now, finally, you can actually press a button where you can subscribe, and every time there's a new episode, you get a notification that you can come on and watch it and come and hang out with us. It's freaking awesome.
Use it.
It's a feature that everyone's been requesting. It's something that's been on the roadmap forever. We just never implemented it, and now they did it.
Don't miss the show.
Yeah, don't miss. So subscribe right below. I can't point. I don't know where it is, but subscribe. Is it up?
I guess it's up.
Wherever it is on the page, subscribe.
Please, now.
There you go. Anyway, what else is new?
Oh, C++, suddenly.
What is C++?
Visual Studio team published a blog post about 7 plus reasons why you should use C++. Well, you should deal with your C++ code in Visual Studio 2017.
Yeah. So they had a video of this, right? A build. They had a whole breakout session of build, but now they wrote a blog post that actually goes more in detail.
Yeah, and every point out of these 7, they explain in details why. Like, for example, my favorite one is the first one. It's all about new C++ code that new C++ features, things like await. Can you imagine C++ has await?
Welcome to the 21st century.
Yes. So exactly. You can use it and your C++ code can actually look really, really great. But that's only with the latest C++ features.
The latest compilers and the latest features in 2017. Yeah.
So it's all about productivity, language features, and multi-platform. I would essentially put it into 3 points, but they like to go to the details.
If you're a C++ developer, make sure you visit this blog post. It's very important, and you learn a lot, actually. I haven't done C++ in a while, but I actually learned. I didn't know that await was in C++. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, now I announced something this week, so this is a bit selfish. But we shipped the Udemy Community Toolkit version 1.5 this week, which is a pretty big deal. There's a lot of cool stuff. So we added a few new controls. So now we have a menu. So in Win32 development WPF, you have a menu control that you can put in. I have that in UWP as well. So you can create menus. We have a new control called the Orbit View, which allows you to do things like graphs and elements around a central element. And we've added also the Expression Builder, which is a really cool way to make expression animations using composition. Before, you had to use magic strings. Mm-hmm. You have to do everything in a string, and things didn't work. When you compile it, you never knew if it worked, if it was going to break. Now you actually have a very a cool managed way to do this in a type-safe way.
You basically made a type-safe system on top of something that is not type-safe.
Correct. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It looks really well.
Amazing.
There's also some things around Bluetooth LE, so it's a really cool helper for Bluetooth LE, easily be able to connect to Bluetooth LE devices and be able to talk to them and get information from them.
Is it easy by design?
It is. This makes it much more easier. There's a Zero collection now. You can just bind to
collection.
And then you can just get immediately these elements and you can just start talking to them.
That's very helpful.
It's very cool. And there's all kinds of bug posts. So read the blog posts, read the release notes, and start using 1.5. It's very cool.
Yeah, I should probably start. I never used the Udemy Community Toolkit.
We should talk once you start using it. Until then, don't talk to me. Anyway, next thing, editor config is a great way for you to have styles, or to manage styles for your developers. They're writing code on, across different text editors or different IDEs. But you want to still manage to make sure that the same formatting, the same styles is applied across all of them. And Visual Studio actually supports this.
Yeah, and before you continue, you say styles, and those are basically rules. The way you put, the way you name your variables, the name you you use spaces versus tabs or vice versa, right?
Tabs and all the way.
Spaces!
Yeah, let's fight. Let's do this right now.
So, this is what he means saying styles. And we have style cop and as mm-hmm. part of Visual Studio, and this is why we call it styles, right?
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so editor config works across all these editors. And there's a great blog post by Kent who talks about documents these rules mm-hmm. that you can use inside your Visual Studio or any other editor that you've been using that have extensions for. So it's a great way to get started with editor config. It's
so basically, if I'm a developer and everyone is using Visual Studio in my team, and I was like, I'm new to Visual Studio, I'm using Sublime. And you're like, yeah, awesome, here's the config.
Yeah, you can use it's already in the project, and just it should work if you have the extension.
Oh, so I just get clone and I have it.
Yeah,
awesome. That's it. Love it.
It's amazing.
Debugging Bot Builder is the key. So in case if you don't know, Bot Builder is the key, essentially is the key for building bots, right? It describes itself. But the problem with the Bot Builder, and by the way, not only Bot Builder is the key, is that once you have this SDK, it's usually compiled DLL.
That's right.
Right? Or like it's they built a JavaScript from TypeScript. So you don't really work with the source code of the framework itself, of SDK itself. And sometimes there is an issue that you need to, you can only solve by digging into the code. So you can see the internal variables, you see where it goes, like what execution path it chooses. And you don't have this ability to do it because it's someone else's SDK. Yeah. So basically, this blog post describes how to get the source code of the SDK and how to debug your application, but being able to go inside the Bot Builder SDK source code itself.
And what I like about this blog post is the Bot Builder SDK is also a JavaScript and a .NET mm-hmm. SDK. And they go through how to do it for both. How to do it for your .NET SDK mm-hmm. that you have, you know, by referencing the actual projects, cloning it first, referencing it, and setting breakpoints. Or how to do it on the Node.js side for JavaScript of actually including the whole project inside of your own JavaScript project, which is really cool. And this applies to any of the projects that you might be using that's open source out there that you can actually just get and start debugging, which is a good learning for everybody.
Very good.
And speaking of actually debugging open source projects, there's a great blog post by Chad that talks about how to actually build and debug the .NET new templating engine that's in Visual Studio now. And talks about how to clone it directly from the GitHub repository, mm-hmm. how to use the scripts they've already provided for you to build it and create your own .NET new, I think they call it .NET new 3.
Yeah.
And also talks about how to debug it. It automatically doesn't start debugging it. You have to actually run a script to set up the debugging for it as well. It's a great blog post on introducing the templating engine and how to build your own, how to use it to build your own templates.
You know what's interesting? Templates, like project templates, they used to be things like things which professional developers didn't like. They used it, but they were like, oh, using this template, it's mm-hmm. so lame. Like I'm doing everything
from scratch.
Like empty file and everything. But now it's kind of getting reborn, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, because with stuff like this, we can actually create not just templates for starting your projects, but you can create templates for components or just adding things to your projects or just getting something reusable into your project, which is really cool. And this .NET new templating engine they've introduced makes that really easy.
Excellent. Yeah. What else on the programming side of things? Design patterns for microservices. This is actually quite cool because microservice itself is a pattern, right? is the way that you design your system, so like they all are independent, you can scale them easily, you can replace them easily, update and everything. But given that you're switching to this completely new architecture, I would say completely new way of thinking about your cloud services, there are also design patterns for services themselves in order to be able to run in micro architecture effectively.
Yeah, that's right, and it's really cool. It goes through how the average architectures are, and kind of tries to take away different ways how you can actually separate your code. And I like the diagram they have on here and how everything works together. And what if you have your legacy code? How do you actually separate that from the rest of your code? What do you have multi-platform code? Do you want to have multiple different backends for different front ends, et cetera? So it just makes you look into other ways that you might not actually be doing in your project, but you might actually think about, maybe I want to do that in the future and start separating your code.
So they see it not as like, oh, there's new programming concept. Let's redo all the stuff you've done before because it's like it's new way of living, like of thinking, like it's microservices. They're actually thinking about incorporating existing code new architecture.
That's really cool.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
So pick of the week.
So my pick of the week. This is actually kind of interesting. There's a developer that took Wikipedia, They went to Wikipedia and they created a game or a JavaScript game. It's all running in the browser right now. It's essentially a text adventure. So you know back in the day when they had these text adventures where you actually, you know, go to this room. Oh, this is what you have in this room. What do you want to do? Go left, go right, you know, do this, pick up this. They actually did this with Wikipedia. What it does is it picks a random spot. So you select a bunch of random spots and you select where you want to go. So it'd say, oh, I want to go in Rome or whatever, some spot in Rome. And says, okay, up north you have this thing. Up, you know, on your left you have this thing. On the south you have this thing. Where do you want to go? And you can go down and basically just takes the description from Wikipedia and just builds up this map that you can actually walk around using, you know, only text. You say, go south or go left.
Basically, they connected maps with Wikipedia. It's not just Wikipedia.
I mean, they connect to Wikipedia, the descriptions and all images, everything, and they know which one goes to what and how they relate to each other. So it's really cool. It's not really a quest like you had back in the day, but it's a great way to actually, you know, explore Wikipedia through this kind of a fun way.
And I like it.
It's a very familiar way, too.
Yeah, it may sound kind of off topic, but it reminds me a lot of Pokemon Go for some reason.
I guess.
Some sort of. Yeah, also everything's
about exploring. So, you know, exactly. Pokemon is about exploring. This is about exploring. We're all explorers.
Yeah.
What's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week, it's a bit back to programming. So we have a challenge for you guys. And it's not just a challenge itself. It's a challenge with the great prizes. I would say cash prizes, right? So Dream, Build, Play. It's all about games, and it's four game developers. We have four nominations, right? Mm-hmm. Cloud-powered game, PC game, mixed reality game, and a console game. Of course, they all should be PWP games, obviously. A part of probably a cloud-powered game. So here's a challenge for you. You build a game, given the rules we have for you, and there are judges. Obviously, there are professionals from the industry. They decide if your game is the best in the category, and you're getting prizes.
That's right. And it's a long challenge from what I've read. It starts this month. You register. If you're by yourself, you can do it by yourself. You have a group of people, like up to seven people. You can do it, register you as a group. And then you have a game. You have to submit it until the end of the year. So until December 31st, you can submit this game.
Yeah, December 31st, 11:59 p.m. You still have time, 1 minute to submit.
That's right. And the prizes are not, you know, small prizes. I mean, the first one, the cloud-powered game, it's a $100,000 prize, which is a lot of money. I mean, also the other ones also have pretty high on the PC game and the mixed reality game. You can get up to $50,000, and the console game you get up to $25,000.
Yeah, it's basically these prices. They're about the same that they used to have and still have for Imagine Cup.
Yeah,
and those, like, usually people see those prices as like a start capital for these guys to ship it for real, to make a real thing. And now we say, oh, okay, we're just giving it as prizes for different groups.
Yeah,
right?
This is really cool. And if you should go to the website and take a look at it, each category has specifics that the judges will be looking
for. Exactly.
So for example, if you're building a PC games, judges will be looking for things like Cortana and inking, stuff like that. Like, how do you incorporate those things in a very interesting way within your game, which is really cool. So I encourage everyone to take a look at this. Even if you're just getting started with game development, this is a great way to get started and start learning.
Yeah, mixed reality game. You may make a game for these new occluded headsets. We're shipping soon. Our partners are shipping soon. And then you just get famous because your game is going to be promoted by Microsoft folks, right?
That's right.
It's not just about getting money. It's also about being known by people. Right?
That's right. And
almost
it puts you on the map.
As we are.
Almost. So I think that's all we have for this week. Thank you, everybody, for joining this week on Channel 9, and we'll see you next time.
Have fun.